Thank the Lord for that song this morning, and thankful for each one that's here. I know I shared with the congregation in a little text we sent out, the burden that I have on my heart this morning is from the Lord is much greater than anything I have written down on my notes. And so I'm just very needy of the Holy Spirit to minister the message to each one of us individually this morning. I've written on the board something beautiful. I'd like to begin over in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 10. Speaking about the creation, God was, the scripture goes through and talks about the creation, how God created. In verse 10 it said, verse 9 we'll start, it said, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Did you notice there that God created the dry land and all the water around it? Have you ever looked at a world map and seen how all of the land comes together like a jigsaw puzzle and fits in together? Y'all ever looked at a map and noticed that? The scripture says here he created the land, and in one spot it sounds like, and put the water around it. And it said, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together for the waters called he seas. And it said, God saw it was good. That word good in the Hebrew means beautiful. He said, he saw it, he created it, and he said, it's beautiful. In other words, it was perfect, it was entire, it was wanting nothing, it was good to look upon. It was something that was good to experience. And then reading down throughout the passage, God created the grass and the herb yielding seed, and he created the trees, and God saw that it was what? He saw that it was good. It was beautiful. Verse 18, he created the moon and the sun, and created the stars, and he said it was good. Verse 25, it said, God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 31, and God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That was after his crowning creation of mankind. And when God created mankind, he created all the world, the earth, the universe, the stars, all the galaxies, and he looked on it and he said it was very good. It was very beautiful. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You know, God's creation was beautiful. He created a paradise for mankind to live in. Eden was a paradise. Adam and Eve, they had a good marriage. Did you know that? They got along with one another. They walked with God. They communed with the Lord. The setting there that God had placed them in, it was a place of serenity and peace. There was no trouble. There were no difficulties. It was an oasis. If it was still there today, it would be an oasis of love and fellowship and purity and holiness. It was a good place to be. But what happened? When we look on our world today, can we still say it's good? Can we still look on today and say it's beautiful? Because something happened in that wonderful place that God had created. There was an enemy. And the enemy tempted Adam and Eve. And as you know the story, Eve sinned and Adam sinned. And when that happened, sin and disobedience entered the world, and they were driven from paradise, so to speak. They were driven from Eden. They lost their first estate, as the passage in Jude talks about. They lost their first estate. They lost that place of communion with God. They lost that place that God had prepared for them to commune with them. They lost that direct communion with the Lord. And while today the beautiful creation still speaks of a creator, The sorrow that we face in our world speaks of the curse of sin. I was out in Oregon this last week, and if you want to see the beauty of the creation, go to Oregon. It's just one, I know there's beautiful places in Missouri too, but Oregon's a beautiful place. And I was out on the ocean and seeing the vast beauty of it. And you know, when I'm there, it always speaks to me about God. It always speaks to me, but do you know, even walking down the beach, I was getting texts from someone that brought heartache to me. I was getting texts from someone that the power of the enemy was at work in someone's life, and it brought sorrow to my heart, and it was a little bit difficult to say, oh, this is good. This is beautiful. When God spoke to Adam and Eve in the third chapter of Genesis, He told the woman in verse 16, He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow you will bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. That was part of the curse of sin. Verse 17, He spoke to Adam in chapter 3. He said, because you hearken to the voice of your wife and hast eaten of the tree. Brethren, I want to speak to you for a moment here. It's good to listen to your wife. But if your wife tells you to do something that's contrary to the word of God, be a man and obey the voice of the Lord. Set the example in your home. Be the man that will stand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, he went on to tell Adam, he said, because you listen to the voice of your wife, he said, thou shalt not eat of this tree. Cursed is the ground for your sake. And in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. In other words, until you die. He said, you're going to toil and you're going to labor at the sweat of thy brow to be able to put bread on the table, so to speak. Folks, from this time, sin has caused havoc in our world. It's caused heartache and it's caused pain. It's sin is what in disobedience disrupts harmony in the home. It is sin and disobedience that disrupts the harmony that God intended for us to have with God. And when we are faced with decisions and choices in life, I want us to remember it is disobedience to God that will disrupt your life. It will disrupt true peace. The devil's trying to tell us something different. He's trying to do what feels good after the flesh. Follow your own thinking. Folks, our thinking will always end up leading us to unrest. It will always lead us to heartache. Young people this morning, the enemy is trying to tell you to follow the way of the world is a good way. If you follow the Lord, you won't have any fun and you'll be in a straitjacket. That is a lie from the enemy. This morning, I'm doing what I want to because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. And there is no better way to live than following Jesus. The devil tries to show you the fun, but the fun doesn't last very long. The taste of that fruit in the garden, it probably tasted good because God had created that. But he said, I want you to leave that thing alone. You can go out and find a little bit of pleasure in sin, but it's not going to last very long. And it's going to end up bringing heartache, and it's going to bring pain, and it's going to bring destruction. It will wreck marriages. It will wreck your communion with God, and will end up lonely and desolate and broken, not even to begin to speak about what it'll be like in eternity. Paul said this in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He was speaking about this miserable state that he found in sin. I wanted peace. I wanted communion with God. I wanted harmony with God, and yet I'm not finding it. Religion isn't doing it. Learning, education is not doing it. Having esteem and recognition of men is not doing it. And he was wretched. Folks, sin makes people wretched. And it's where the condition of our world. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, Paul was writing here as well. He said, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Now he's talking to the congregation at Rome. Folks, it applies for us today as well. God be thanked you were servants of sin, destruction and heartache and pain. But he said, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse 22, he said, now being made free from sin, become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is what? Do we understand that the wages, the consequence of sin is death? Children, young people, I wish my words could penetrate your heart this morning. But if you can know the consequence of turning away from God is death, it'll bring heartache and destruction. And I'm so tired. I'm tired this morning of seeing the destruction that sin brings. I'm sad and it brings grief to me when I see the pain and the ugliness of sin. Folks, sin is not pretty. I remember my father bringing out to us as young men. He said, have you ever seen a woman that looked pretty on the outside? She looked beautiful. And as you observe, you see her acting ugly. You see her pulling out her cigarettes and drinking and see the carnality coming out. See that ugliness. Do you know that woman's not pretty anymore? We're talking about the outward. Because the outward, folks, perishes, doesn't it? But true beauty is something that comes from the inside. True beauty is something that comes from the sweet spirit. Young people, young men, listen here. You can go out and find the prettiest woman you can and marry, but I'll tell you what, she's not going to stay pretty very long when she's ugly in her behavior. See, it's not the outward. You young girls, young women, it's the same thing for a man. The outward, it changes. It changes, but true beauty is something that comes from deep inside. Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? It's eternal life. The consequences of sin are horrible, but I thank God through Jesus Christ that we can be changed this morning. That He can take our ugliness because self is so ugly. Have you ever looked in the mirror and didn't like what you saw? You know, there are some things I can't change. When I see a picture, especially from behind, I look in the crowd and that's me. It's like, that's actually my shiny head back there. I don't have to look at it. I don't have to look at it. I don't realize, you know, I can't change that. I've been scarred when I got chicken pox in middle school. I've got pox. I left with marks on my face. I can't change that. But you know, there's something that by the grace of God that the Lord changed in my life. When I looked in the mirror and I saw Michael and I saw the flesh and I saw selfishness and I saw carnality and I saw impatience and I saw those things that just they don't bring peace. And I brought that ugliness to the Lord. And He took that ugliness and He made something beautiful. He took my sin and He forgave me. He took my selfishness and He put some of Himself some of His giving self in me. There is a song that says, and it's the essence, and we're not done yet this morning, but it's the essence of the message this morning. I like is just to sing a chorus of it. It says, something beautiful. You know the song? Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Can you go ahead and sing it? Confusion. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. He made something beautiful of my life. So shall we continue in sin this morning? Shall we continue when we look in the mirror and some of self rises up and we see something that's so ugly? Do we need to continue in that this morning? Do we need to continue on without fellowship with God? In your homes, in your marriages, in your relationships with people, on the job, do we need to continue with those things that really are just not very pretty? When things come out of your mouth, when you see an attitude coming out and you see a spirit in yourself that you know is not very good, when you're lonely and you feel like you're just broken inside and it's all dark, do we need to stay in that condition this morning? Do we need to stay there? Do you know this morning that Jesus Christ came to take our ugliness? He came to take our loneliness. He came to take our despair. He came to take the things that I could not change. And He came when we placed it in His hands to make something beautiful. It's not because of me. It's in spite of me. But the Lord reached down and He did for me what I could not do for myself. And I just want to encourage us this morning in the Lord that if there's something that's ugly in your life, if there's something that's dark, the Lord Jesus came to bring a change that He can say, I can do something beautiful. I've read about that and I've seen there are artists that take garbage and they take trash. They take things that people have discarded and they make artwork out of it. They take something that others say there's no use to this and they take it and they make something beautiful out of it. Do you know that's what Jesus Christ came to do this morning? He came to take your ugliness. He came to take my ugliness and He said the things that just look like it's not worth anything, if you will give it to me, if you will place it in my hands, I can do something beautiful in your life. Oh, folks, the scripture says in Psalms 149, verse 4, it says, for the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He will take the brokenness that sin brings. He will take the despair. He will take the addictions. He will take the things in our life that are holding us back. And we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to just give it to You. I don't know what to do with it. And the Lord can do something beautiful. We can take our past that is so ugly and bring it to the Lord. And we can do as Paul when he said, forgetting those things which are behind. And doing what? Reaching forth unto those things that are before. Do you know the Lord can take the ugliest past? He can take the ugliest sins. He can take people that have caused heartache in their families that just leave a trail behind them. And He can, if we place themselves in God's hands, He can do something beautiful with them. It's not too late. This is why we pray for our lost loved ones when it's so ugly and it brings so much pain and it brings so much heartache that I still know we have a Savior that when they get ready, if they'll place their life in His hands, God can beautify them. He'll work a miracle in their life. This gives me hope this morning. We need not live in a state of ugliness, but anything. I know He beautifies the meek with salvation, but you know, even after I was saved, sometimes Michael showed up a little bit, looked in the mirror, is like, that's Michael. I look in the mirror and I want to see Christ. But when I see Michael, what do I do? Lord, I'm going to come right back down to Your throne. And I'm going to humble my heart and say, Lord, can You do something with this too? Because this is me. And I need You. And I found that the Lord has taken my failures. He's taken my faults. And He's done something beautiful. And that means that tomorrow, when the Lord shows me more of my faults, I know right where to go. Lord, here I am again. I want You to perfect Your graces in my life. This morning, you do not have to face life by yourself. You do not have to settle for the loneliness and the darkness and the pain and the guilt of yesterday. But you can come and give. What the devil would like to tell you this morning is just give up. It hasn't changed. Just stop trying. You're not worth anything. This is how it's always going to be. That's the enemy this morning. But if you will bring your confusion, your brokenness, and bring it to the Lord, I just want you to know in the Lord, and I wish my words were more eloquent. But the Lord is still in the business. As the sign says, as around Springfield, we buy ugly houses. Have y'all seen that sign? The Lord's still in the business of buying ugly houses. He'll take what's ugly and He'll restore it. And He'll renew it. And He'll take what's broken and He'll fix it. He'll take the home that has been left falling apart and He'll come in and He'll fix it up. He'll make it new and He'll turn the light on. This morning, the Lord wants to do something beautiful in your life. You remember the adulterous woman that came to Jesus? Broken, no hope. She'd been that way probably for a long time. And others brought her to Christ expecting judgment. If you think that serving the Lord in holiness is about judgment, you have missed it this morning. Because I find that Jesus did not come the first time to bring judgment. He came the first time to bind up and to heal and to restore and to renew, to restore fellowship with God, to deliver us from the power of sin, that where we were servants of sin, now we're servants of righteousness. That the fruit of holiness can come out, not because of what we did, but because we placed ourselves in the hands of God and Jesus Christ came in and made something beautiful of our life. That adulterous woman, she had a past, probably a lot of guilt and a lot of condemnation. This morning, if your past troubles you, the Lord Jesus wants to do something beautiful for you. When you place your sin and the heartache that you've caused others in the hands of God, He will do something new in your life. That you can leave knowing that, yes, that was back then, but now the Lord has taken, He's forgiven, and He's cleaned. And He's restored and He's renewed and He did something beautiful for me. The Lord does not want us to live in a state of condemnation. Because the scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Lord will take the ugly. And He doesn't need cover up either. That's what the world does, isn't it? They take what they perceive as ugly and I don't even know all the stuff. They foundation, lipstick, cover, all that stuff. I just call it cover up. I don't know. Genuine is better this morning. Just like God made you. Sisters, just like God made you. It's good. And good means beautiful. Remember that in the scripture. But when we come to the Lord, it's more than just doing a facial. He comes and He does something in the heart that radically transforms who I am. I still have personality. I still am in the flesh. I still have struggles. I still have temptations. But the Lord takes that ugly and He does something beautiful with it. Peter, when he fell, the Lord, you see, the Lord took that failure. And when Peter asked God to forgive him, how God did something beautiful in Peter's life. The leper and the lame and the blind. The scripture in the book of Isaiah talks about the lion laying down with the lamb. Do you know what that's talking about? That is not speaking of an age to come. It's talking about this thing right here, that I come with that lion spirit. Come with that spirit of a lion, or that spirit of a snake or a serpent. And when the Jesus Christ comes in, He transforms that spirit, that I can be in communion and unity with people of different personalities and different backgrounds, because the Lord Jesus reached down to all of us and He changed our spirit. This morning you can go out of all the marriage seminars you want, but until you have your life transformed, you can go to all, read all the self-help books that you want, and I'm not saying there's no good at all in those things, but I want to tell you the answer to the world's sinfulness, the answer to the heartache that's in our world is found in Jesus Christ. It's found when we humble our heart and we will recognize our own ugliness. It's easy to see it in other people. Pride and selfishness and carnality and impatience and all of those things. But what about in my own life? That I can know that even the things that cause me to feel lonely, that the Lord wants to fill that place in my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's a list of sin, isn't it? Folks, the Bible in black and white says it. Over 90% of Christian churches in the United States are teaching a different doctrine than that. If you commit adultery, just ask God to forgive you the next morning. If you go out and get drunk, ask God to forgive you and His grace will cover it, and then go out and do it again the next night. Folks, the blood of Jesus Christ takes what's ugly and what's wrong, and He transforms it and makes something beautiful. Listen to what He said. He said, if you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then He didn't stop there, because this wasn't about being self-righteous. He said, listen, He said, and such were some of you. Thank God, such were some of you. You did these sin. But He said, but you were washed. You were sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Folks, we're not walking after the flesh anymore, but after the Spirit. We don't need to live under the condemnation of what we did back in sin. There's a place in Jesus Christ that He can take what is so ugly and so wrong and so sinful, and He'll make something beautiful out of it. You can go to meeting and look around and say, well, everybody just seems so holy and everybody has it together here. Do you really want to know if everyone has always had it together here? Do you really want a list of all the wrong? You go to camp meeting, go to Monarch, and you look around at hundreds of people. And my children have said this before. It's like, well, they just don't understand. Oh, really? I know I've shared this. Do you know what Brother So-and-so, do you know what he used to do before he was saved? Do you know what this person used to do? You don't hear very many people standing up just confessing all of their sins. That's not always in order, is it? But I want to tell you something. Such were some of you. But yet, you've been washed. You've been forgiven. You've been justified. Folks, Jesus can take this morning the addicted. He can take the broken. He can take the failure. And when we put it in His hands, He can make something beautiful. If your clay has marred this morning, and maybe you had a desire to serve the Lord, but it feels like you're in a place of darkness this morning. Maybe you're turning to other things to try to fill that darkness or that self-loathing because you just almost can't stand yourself. The Lord wants to take that ugliness and that darkness, and He wants to make something beautiful out of it. He can take the clay that's been marred in His hands. Remember the poem, The Touch of the Master's Hands? That which has been discarded of no value, when it was placed in the hands of the Master, it brought forth beautiful music. And that's what the Lord wants to do in our life this morning. Will be done shortly. I want to just summarize Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 4. It was a prophecy of the coming of Christ. And Jesus read this in His first address, public address. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Bring good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up who? The brokenhearted. He makes something beautiful this morning. To proclaim liberty to the captive. Those that are bound up, Jesus came to set us free. The opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To comfort all those that mourn. And do you know what He came to do? It said He came to give beauty for what? For ashes. Do you have some ashes you need to give to the Lord this morning? You know, we don't like everyone to see our ashes, do we? We hide it. And too often, because we hide it, we live with it down deep. Young people, there's a lot of heartache in our world. And because we come and hear preaching and we hear about all the victory in Christ, sometimes you may feel like you have to hide your struggles because you'll think no one's going to understand. But we've been there. We've been there. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus is still here to do something beautiful in our lives. He gave the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And it said, they shall build the old waste and shall raise up the former desolations and repair the waste cities. You know, that's why Jesus came. And when God looked on His creation, said it was good. It was beautiful. Sin wrecked the beauty of much of that creation. And it brought despair and hopelessness. And so Jesus Christ came that we can come back to Him with our brokenness and with our confusion and with our darkness and with our addictions and with the ugliness of ourself. And He can take us and He can make something beautiful in our life if we will place ourselves in His hands. Folks, that responsibility is with us. Because I know we all have some from time to time. The question is, what are you going to do with it this morning? I don't want to dwell on my inadequacies this morning, but this message is from the Lord. What will you do? If there's something in your life this morning, I want to encourage you to come and bring it to the Savior. That, Lord, I want You to do something beautiful where I'm feeling pain and self-loathing and discouragement and all these things that we've touched on this morning, there's a place of healing in the hands of Jesus Christ, and He can take what is ugly and He can make something beautiful of it. And I thank God for that this morning.